session number 9793, reel 2.
Mr. Bradley, reel 2. Can you describe the view of the grass spare that you had from where you were?
Well, to start with, it was 14 miles away. And just, you could just see the smoke to start with. Then when the shells burst, you could see them coming.
You could see the shells actually travelling through the air, couldn't you? What did they look like?
Big.
Were they turning over and over?
Yes, it would be, yeah.
How frightened were you?
I was frightened, but too frightened. Everybody's frightened. Things gonna be blown to bits next minute, but you're so busy and your mind was on your job.
Who's in charge of the flag work over you?
Well, we're the signal officer, Lieutenant Kearney.
How do you spell that?
K-E-A-R-N-E-Y. He's dead now. And we're the chief yeoman. If you're an Arman.
H-A-R-M-A-N?
Yeah. Then we had two yeomen, Yeoman McRae. Oh dear.
Could I ask you about what you could see the Exeter? What did she look like?
Well, she was the first one to be hit. We see the shells going round her and smoke coming from near the funnel. Seemed to be behind the funnel. We only got a quick look of it, you know. Then it went out of our view because we were manoeuvring all the time.
Did she look a mess?
Well, she looked a bit stationary. Didn't have a lot of... Because he got the first shots even before we... Well, that's his name, I think she got it.
Can you remember any of the signals that you were hoisting?
No, not really, because you just always the, it's all code. I'd say, AB meant, drop anchor or something. Unless you read the book, you wouldn't know. The yeoman would know, because he translated the code and say, hoist AB or whatever.
So the signals were meaningless to you?
There was really, yeah.
Were you signalling to the Exeter or the Achilles?
To both of them. Because you always a signal, and they always are answering panic when they understand the signal. So you could always the flags, and both of them would get the answer, get the message. Once they always answering panic, down comes your flags.
And were you working on the signals all the time through the battle, or would there be lulls?
Oh, be lulls. Sometimes you'd be signalling by lamp, but mostly it was by the flags. Or semaphore.
What would you do during the lulls?
Well, we never turned in for a sleep. All curled up in the passage.
On the flag deck?
Yeah, or... Because the flood ship was a start acting. So there's water floating about everywhere. You couldn't mess about with your helmet reeling.
So all the decks were swimming with seawater, weren't
they? Yeah, all the flag decks and that, all the mess decks.
How deep?
Well, about 3 or 4 inches.
So you're wading around in up to your ankles in water?
Mm. When you're down the mess deck, it's all right on the flag deck, it's only down below. They do it in case of fires. Could you imagine what that's like after about 4 days?
Because what?
After about 4 days, you imagine what that was like.
What was it like?
Well, everything floating about, all oddments.
What do you mean after 4 days? The water's still around after 4 days, you mean?
Well, I'm not sure about it. It might have only been the first day, I'm just quite not sure.
Can you describe what it was like when the shells hit the Ajax?
Yes, when we missed the torpedoes and then we got, it was so deafening you couldn't hear. When there's just two of us left, after the Yeoman got hit and they just left two of us here.
After who got hit?
Yeoman McCrae. He got hit in the face. So Leighton Sigmund Parrott said, took over. He said, they sent Yeoman McCrae down the sick bay. And he said, I want 2 volunteers to stay here. The rest take cover. So me and Ernie Grubb stayed behind. Well, then one burst above us. It's such a shrapnel everywhere. I got a bit shrapnel for souvenir, as a matter of fact. And the noise was so deafening that I could see Lean Singleton Parrott saying, he was yelling, he got his mouth yelling at me, but I couldn't hear. I could make out what he said, take cover. But it's so noisy that you can just see his lip moving, you know. Because I've been crouched down behind the winch just for protection. And I think that's when my eye went and my ear. Because I wasn't knocked out or anything. I took cover with the rest. I started getting violent headaches. And after the action, I was in hospital a week with the high temperature, diarrhea and sickness. And these headaches.
Was it the effect of blast or what?
Well, that's what I understood from the eye specialist. So I saw 17 eye specialists. Different times. It's a peculiar thing, blast. It can do damage to somebody and somebody stood there and not touch him.
Did you see McCrae hit?
Yes, well, I see him turn round when they was all stood there watching the air come down. It just took a piece out of his face there.
Out of his cheek?
Yeah.
A piece of shrapnel?
A piece of skin took off. And he wasn't seriously hurt, but enough that he couldn't do his job at the time. So I took him down sick bay.
Was anybody else a casualty near to you?
There was another Sigmund large, he got some in his buttocks, some shrapnel. He wasn't very pleased when we pulled his leg. But We was lucky, really. Although we was out in the open, not many of us suffered damage.
What did you think of the standard of firing of the grass bear?
Well, the signal officer was up in the plane spotting, and he said it was so accurate round the Ajax, he didn't think that he'd coming back to the Ajax. Because it looked as if it was hitting us all the time. But he said it, through their accuracy, that somehow that they missed us with us manoeuvring.
Could you see whether the shots from the British ships were hitting home on the grass bear?
No, because we weren't close enough for that. I mean, they could hit us from 14 mile away, but we did close in to 700 yards. 7,000 yards. Because that's what we kept doing, then coming back under a smoke screen.
When you were as close as that, at 7,000 yards, could you get a good view of the grass bear?
No, not from where we was on the flag deck. Because, we're hiding behind, underneath the bridge sort of thing. I mean, even at that distance, you couldn't see a lot, really.
Did the Ajax look a mess at the end of the action?
Well, it did at the rear end, it was all crushed in. But didn't look too bad otherwise. I mean, anybody, if you passed anybody, I wouldn't have thought it had all that much damaged. Well, we was lucky, really. I mean, compared with Esther.
What did you do when the action finished? What did you personally do? Do you just carry on your duties, or what?
Yeah.
You're still signalling?
Yeah. Yeah, when we put ashore in Monte, they gave us a good time there.
In what way?
Monte Video. Well, we're out on a bus and they loaded it with flowers. And we just had a celebrating, dancing and all that, you know.
You mean they provided a bus for you to go around the town?
Yeah. Well, no. We supplied it, we all got in it, and all the civilian population was crowding the streets, and they was piling flowers into the bus.
Was it an open deck bus?
Yeah, well, there no windows in. It was sort of open.
What happened when you got the news that the Graf Spear was scuttled? How did everybody react?
Well, there's two things I've told you about that. While we was waiting outside, Monty for news. After we chased her and she kept firing back at us. And, because we could hear what was being said on the wireless in England. And,
who could?
On the ship, we could receive the wireless. You know, like ordinary wireless. And we heard Churchill saying that, there's all these ships waiting outside. And we knew the nearest ship was 1,000 miles away, and we got no oil and ammunition.
How did you know that?
Well, we knew about the ship.
About the fact that the nearest ship was 1,000 miles away.
It did, because There was no... The nearest one was the Cumberland. And the rest... We knew that. Because, well, our things go around the ship, they tell you these things. And the other ships, the nearest that did come eventually, was out in Africa. There was no other ship near us. And, anyway, Lane Zingman Parrott had bought a little wireless ashore. And he's listening to this wireless, and I mean, you don't normally do that to the Commodore.
Yeah. Beckoned.
Yeah. You normally salute and all that. It says, Commodore, here. And there was this Yankee ashore, Yankee journalist or whatever. He said, the grass pears just left Montevideo Harbour. That's how we knew. And yet, our blokes ashore, they're supposed to be there to sort of agents. They eventually let us know it by code, but by the time they sorted the code out, we already knew.
So this was the first news on Parrott's radio?
Yeah.
And he beckoned Commodore Harwood across, did he?
Yeah.
And did Commodore Harwood come?
Yeah, he came in the office and said, listen to this. And he heard the young say, grass pears left Montevideo Harbour. So he gave the orders then, close up action stations, proceed at full speed. Well, then the shrapnel had cut our aerials down, so I went aft to the rear of the ship, rigged a jury aerial up for signalling. And there's a wireless operator with me as well. And he had his headphones and that on. And he called it to the officer of the watch that was with us. He said, the grass bee scuttled herself. He said, another crack like that and you're for it. He said, I'm not joking. And he'd heard it over the wireless from somebody. And we anchored off it all night, watching it burn.
What did it look like?
Oh, it was just a mass of flames, and it gradually bits kept dropping off, you know. Yeah, the what was left of it was still there the next day. Didn't sink. Just still sticking out the water. It was there. Well, after we left there, it was still there.
Was this a spectacular sight?
Yeah, it was. I had all the photos of it, but they got lost.
Did you take photographs yourself?
No, somebody on the ship. See, we had a photographer on the ship and used to take all different photos and you go buy copies. I bought a load of these off the Grass Bay, but when we moved down here I lost them. Left behind. I lost all my albums with the photos.
What kind of a reception did you get in Britain when you got back?
Well, we marched through London, some of us, and we'd march in for 2.5 hours, and you could, so loud a cheering, you couldn't even hear the band. And then we had dinner with Churchill at the Guildhall. And he gave a speech. Then when when I went back to my hometown, eventually, I had to go around all the schools. they sent and asked for me, you know. And I went the first time. And I took a few of the things I'd brought abroad. I didn't mention about the River Plate. And that's what the kids wanted, so he asked me if I could come again before I went back on my holiday. I believe. Anyway, oh dear. Anyway, I went, and there's 500 of these kids, all asking me questions. How long was the ship? How many a crew? What happened, you know? Then I signed 500 autographs on bits of paper and had a stand of attention and salute while this girl sang "The Lord Be in England." I said, "You let me in for something?" He said, "It's for the kids," he said.
Now, were you in? Can you tell me about what happened with your injuries in the action and how it was dealt with afterwards?
Yes, I was invalided off the Ajax and I sent in the Medway Hospital. Well, then every time I went into barracks, I was sent in there for observation again. I was sent back, sent me out to New York for landing craft, but they sent me back to be invalided. In the time that I was to be invalided, they brought another Admiral Fleet order out. All men in the wild category shore base. So I was sent on the shore base. Well, then when I eventually was getting invalided, I was told that I'd done it before because I had a blind eye and perforated ear. I was told I'd done it before I come in the Navy. I said, well, I've been a signalman for 4 years and a night test every 6 months. I said, well, you did it boxing. I said, well, boxing was compulsory in the boys' service. I said, they just wouldn't have it, it's through the action.
Did you get any compensation?
I did for my eye eventually. I got a pound, started off £1 a week. But I didn't get anything for my ear till a couple of years ago.
And then you got compensation a couple of years ago, did you?
Yeah. After I had a medical ear and another one in London.
How much compensation did they give you?
They gave me £4 from here.
£4 a week?
Yeah, but I was on Social Security then, so they knocked off three. But, I mean, I should have got 40 years back pay, but right, I didn't. I thought I started telling you the first one. Anyway, while we was waiting outside of Rio, waiting for see what happened about the Grass Bay, we was trying to get some oil from an oiler.
This was outside Montevideo, was it?
Yeah, well, that was off Rio. That's, yeah. Yeah, Monty, that's right, Monty. A bit long. Yeah, while I was waiting, anchored, trying to oil. But the weather was that rough, they couldn't get the oil pipes across. And they hadn't a safety net. A priority signal came through from the wireless office. And I was told to deliver it to this oiler. what you do is you tow. Well, the oiler, the deck is higher up than the cruiser. There's no safety net, so the only thing I could do was jump. So as the ships came together, I jumped up, and a plank and a rope that I spotted.
A plank and a rope what?
A plank, jump on the plank and grab the rope. The plank was loose, and the rope was on a pulley. So just managed to grab with the other hand, with the signal, hanging on with one hand as the ships hit together, down below me. Finally just, I'd have been...
You'd have been crushed?
Yeah.
When was that?
I was while we were waiting outside.
When you were blockading the grass bay?
That's
mean?
Right, yeah. And, I thought, well, it's easier getting back, because I can jump down. As I jumped over back onto the Ajax, there's Captain Woodhouse stood there, like that.
With his arms akimbo.
And just went... Just gave a wry grin. He never said a word and just walked away. I suppose he was waiting to see if I fell in.
Earlier on you said that you became the flagship when the Exeter had been originally. Can you tell me how that came about?
Yes, well... the night before the action, we'd been doing a dummy run... Exeter's flagship. They actually tried to oil from a tanker, but the weather's that rough that they collided and it damaged the steering of the Exeter. So Commodore Harwood moved his flag to our ship, the Ajax. So we became the flagship.